Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 11 o'clock hour, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Hope you're having a great Thursday so far. As we are moving right along here, we say hello to Corey Curtis, sports director at News 2. Corey, how you doing?
I am adequate today, fellas. How are you?
I like that, adequate. That is a good way to put it. That's how I'm feeling as well. How are the Titans, though? Are they going to be adequate when it comes to taking on the Las Vegas Raiders on Sunday at Nissan Stadium? I'll start with Taylor Lewan. It's not looking very good for the Titans' left tackle, and with the offensive line woes that they already have, how big of a blow is that?
Well, look, going into the season, when people ask me about this team and they ask me my biggest concerns, it was the offensive line. And, you know, it was the offensive line of could it come together? Were the right tackle and left guard going to be good enough? Because we had to see who that was going to be. But then the other thing was, could Taylor Lewan and Ben Jones at this point in their career hold up for an entire season? I mean, those were concerns. And then the concern on top of that was the lack of depth and commitment to bringing in depth behind them. I mean, it didn't appear to be there. I know they brought in Jamarco Jones, but he's barely practiced since he's been here. And then, you know, Dylan Radins was all but handed the right tackle job and couldn't win it. And still they haven't seemingly addressed what's behind it. And, you know, we all tend to think the sky is falling when it's not. You know, they adapt.
Not
they
us.
Overcome, and we saw it last year, you know, where they went through 91 players. But, you know, when you see what was a concern and you say, what if, you know, all summer long, and all of a sudden you're in week three and what if is upon you, it's concerning.
Yeah, no doubt. And look, I think Mike Vrabel, if you have a chance at anything of turning this around, you have the best chance because you have Mike Vrabel as the head coach, the defending coach of the year. I just don't, and Derek's been saying this too, I just don't know if this team is deep enough for them to be able to do that like they did last year, because you're not going to find the depth that you need at this point in the season off the street.
Well, eventually failed draft picks come back to haunt you. And the Isaiah Wilson pick and the Dylan Radins pick, you know, those are first and second round picks. Those guys not only should be, you know, contributing, they should be starting and they should be good players. They should be foundational pieces for you, really. And the fact that you don't even want to put them on the field, and one of them is not even in football anymore, you know, that hurts because you can't pay everybody. You know, you can't just go and buy a team full of free agents. That's not how it works because you can't afford everybody. And so, you know, like I said, you did it last year with 91 guys, and you brought in guys, and you mix and you match, and you make it work. It doesn't always work like that. Now, we'll see what they can come up with, because they're going to have to pull some rabbits out of some hats here to make it happen.
Corey, the question I want to ask you quickly before I get into my two major ones. Had this team beat Cincinnati last year, gotten to the AFC Championship game, won that, and they didn't even have to win the Super Bowl, do you think they would have been more aggressive at signing A.J. Brown than they were?
That's a good question.
That is a good question. You know, they didn't want to trade A.J. Brown. I mean, you could see the pains on their faces when they did it. I think the way negotiations went really rubbed them the wrong way. I don't think it was entirely about money. I think it was the way things went. You know, when you come up in your price and then somebody comes back and comes up higher in their ask, that's not the way negotiations normally go. And I think that they were taken back by it, and bothered by it enough to say that we're going to move on and see what we can do. And we can argue all day whether it was the right decision or the wrong decision. I always say you don't get better by getting rid of good players, and A.J. Brown is obviously an excellent player. But he's not without warts. I mean, doesn't have the warts that a lot of people have, but he's got some concerns. but he's a fantastic player. You know, when you started asking that question, I thought you were going to ask about Roger Saffold.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can say Roger Saffold too.
Would you find a way to bring him back? You know, because like when you were here, they kicked the can down the road until they got into an unsustainable portion with the cap because they kept pushing guys forward. And, I don't think John wanted to get into that trap, and understandably so. But when you think you're knocking on the door, you have to do it. But John also comes, from New England, where you say goodbye to guys a year too soon rather than a year too late. And, you saw, but going into the season, we saw Saffold breaking down. Mm-hmm. You saw it Monday night, he went down. it seemed like every game, and like every game, Ben Jones went down. We know the injury situation Taylor Lewan has had. And I think they felt like they couldn't go in with all three of those guys possibly breaking down at the prices that they're paying them. So, I kind of knew I thought it was Lewan or Saffold who was going to go, and it's usually easier to replace a guard than a tackle. And I know that's not your question at all. But but the bigger question is do they try to kick the can down the road if they're closer to the Super Bowl? Mm-hmm. And I think it goes beyond that. I think if Tannehill plays better in that game and you win, I think you might feel like you're closer. But I still think you've got questions about, they may not say they do, but I do, if he's the guy who can get you through the playoffs.
Now, you talked about the offensive line depth, and we've been talking about that since training camp and them not being able to, well, they thought they addressed it, but then come to find out the guys that they drafted, they missed on them on the evaluation. But I can also, say that with the cornerback position, which was my question mark beside the offensive line because of the lack of experience. Even though Christian Fulton is a good player, but he lacks the experience. And then not only the experience, I mean, you're drafting guys that, hadn't played and then you don't have any depth behind them. And it's coming, full circle for them with this cornerback position.
Well, they drafted Roger McCreary this year, and he's arguably their best one right now. Mm-hmm. And, you felt good with McCreary and Fulton, but what do we know about Fulton as well? He's been injury prone in his two seasons, and here he's dinged again. And so I think when Screen retired, not that he was a blockbuster player, but you could put him out there and feel good about it. Mm-hmm. I think that was a blow to their depth. And the thing about Caleb Farley is he just hasn't played that much football. And at that position. And so there's going to be some learning curve. And so, you lose Screen and now you lose Fulton for we don't know how long. Suddenly you're put in a spot against arguably the best team in football where they're going to take advantage of everything that they can, and he's getting exposed a little bit. They lost two guys who were supposed to help. And then Chris Jackson's been here for years, a few years, and he's been a guy who's been able to fill in. And he's injured all preseason, and now he's injured again in IR. So, they're down three guys, all right? If you count Screen, they're down three of what was like their top five. And so, we're 3 weeks into the season, and you're already tapping the waiver wire trying to fill bodies, and I don't know where we are on the way to 91, but I feel like we got a healthy head start.
The record's in jeopardy, you're saying. Yeah, that's a tough hand, no doubt. And you every day there's movement grabbing somebody off of somebody. It seems like there's a lot more people being grabbed off of other people's practice squads to put on the Titans than vice versa, although they did lose a guy today and pick up another.
They've lost two, and they lost two outside linebackers, which is a spot where they need people.
That's where they need.
They lost Anini, and then they lost Tech McKinley. One's with the Steelers now, one's with the Rams, and they're a little thin there.
Mm. Corey Curtis is with us. So, Corey, what do you think, what are the key matchups in your mind? Where do the Titans have a good matchup against the Raiders? Where can they maybe find some traction?
That's a great question.
Because that's what they need, right? They, I mean, we know the weaknesses for the Titans. They're all over the place. But what
coaching?
Well, let's just start with what they want to do, right? Can they start doing their thing in the running game to get some things going offensively? It all starts. They've got to have Derrick Henry run the ball well if other things are going to fall into place.
Well, that's where I was going to go first. When you look at an offensive line and bringing an offensive line together, it's a lot easier to move forward than it is to move backwards, okay? And Mike Vrabel talked about it on Monday, that they need to get better at doing less things, all right? And what that means is we're not going to worry about the whole playbook. We're going to go back to our core of stuff, and we're going to do that well. And once we do that well, we'll expand on it. And so what have they done well in the past? They've run the football. Okay, and so, you know, when you're trying to pass block a Max Crosby and a Chandler Jones, that's tough for anybody. That's tough for Taylor Lewan. It's tough for Nicholas Petit-Frere. But the best way that I've always said to handle a pass rusher is to run the football right at him. You know, put your pads in him and start pushing him backwards. And that's the direction offensive linemen like to go. So I think it benefits the Titans, and I think it benefits the offensive line, and of course Derrick Henry, if they focus this game on moving forward. And I think that's what they're going to do. You know, they've also got to get some speed back. And Dontrell Hilliard, you know, when his speed left the offense, I think it made a difference. And I don't know that he'll be back this week. But so I do look for them to try to run the ball at them. I also don't think that Raiders offensive line is outstanding. I mean, they've had their own whiffs in the draft in that department as well. The problem is for the Titans is, do you have the guys on the edges to take advantage of them? Because you don't have Harold Landry, and now you don't have Bud Dupree, who knows for how long. I mean, that's over $30 million in players. I mean, just stack up the numbers here. You know, you've got Harold Landry and Bud Dupree and Taylor Lewan all down. You're down like $45 million of your cap on three guys who are all hurt. It's really crippling and really devastating when you're looking at where you want to take advantage of, because these are guys that are supposed to be your core guys. So once again, you've got to look to Jeffrey Simmons and Denico Autry. And so I'm going to look for them to use Autry on the outside to try to find some good matchups for him while Simmons tries to blow up things on the interior and probably takes on two or three blockers at a time. You know, and Waller's a good player. A really good player. The Titans have handled tight ends reasonably well in the past. We'll see if they can do that again. But I think the big thing is does Devontae Adams just absolutely torch them the way Stephon Diggs did? That's one of the things I'm watching first and foremost. How do the Titans handle Devontae Adams? Do they stick Roger McCreary on him, or do they just rotate along?
Real quick, Corey, before we let you go, do you think Josh Gordon is getting closer to being in the plans, or is he getting closer to them saying, look, he's not
talking about this?
Well,
I knew that was coming.
Let's move on then. If he's not going to be in the plans, it's time to move on, right? That's what I'm saying. Is he closer to getting in or closer to just moving on? This was a nice try.
Guys, do you know how many 1,000 years Josh Gordon has had?
He had one.
One.
Yeah.
One. Do you know how many years ago that was?
Like 25.
It was nine. You were still playing. Okay?
But, Corey.
You were still playing.
But, Corey, I totally get that, right? Anybody who looks back to that year and has anything, that is ancient history. I agree. But this is a guy that averages about 17, 18 yards a catch, even as recently as the last time he played, right? It's a role, right?
How many
it's a guy.
Are we talking about?
Well, his career, he averages 17 yards a catch.
Like 5 years.
Well,
I mean, he couldn't do it in Kansas City with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. I mean, Andy Reid's arguably the best offensive mind of the last 10 years, 15, 20 years.
So you're saying they should cut him?
Use him.
You're saying that they
should come. I don't understand it, and I don't understand the infatuation with it. Because if he was that good and he was still that player, he would be out there being that player, and he wouldn't have been on a practice squad to begin with. Okay, so we keep wondering: can they catch lightning in a bottle? Can they have him find the fountain of middle age? No, No, because he's been trying to come back for years. People keep giving. And look, I don't hate Josh Gordon. I hope he goes out and catches 250 yards and 7 touchdowns on Sunday. I do. But I think to keep looking at this and hoping that this is the magic elixir for the Titans is ridiculous. It's absurd. I'd rather have Nick Westbrook Akeen out there. He caught 50 passes.
But do you understand, though, Nick Westbrook Akeen, we know, is not a guy that is going to stretch the defense. Josh Gordon isn't either.
He hasn't been in a decade.
That's not true. 2019, he had 16 yards a catch. That's not that far ago.
How many catches?
27. 27.
Okay, you're talking about 1.1 catches per game.
I'm saying when he has played
3 years ago.
Now we're down to 3 years. You said 10 years ago. Now we're down to 3 years ago.
You said 27 catches, Willie.
Yes,
27. That's 1.1 catches per game.
I'm just saying his skill set. His skill set is he can stretch the defense.
Bring in Will Fuller.
I was just about to say.
Don't go down that route, Corey. It's just as bad as Josh Gordon. You bring that would be
5 years are a heck of a lot better.
I know, but you're going down this road of injured guys, and eventually, it's going to be at the doorstep of John Robinson.
I agree with you completely. Mm-hmm. I agree with you 100% that you can't go down the doorstep of all these injured guys. My point is this. Mm-hmm. He is a more productive player.
You've seen it more. Yeah, I get that part.
Josh Gordon. That is my only point. We kept waiting all preseason and all training camp for them to bring in another veteran receiver. They did not do it. And so here we are again.
But they know some things now that they didn't know a few weeks ago.
What, didn't know that injuries happen?
I think it's pretty certain they're in dire need of trying something at the wide receiver
position. They didn't know they needed help at receiver. They didn't know they needed help at offensive line. They didn't know they needed help in the secondary.
I don't know how they didn't know these things. You have to know. I mean, mm-hmm. Look, when you see Jamarco Jones can't stay healthy, and when you see when you see those guys can't win the jobs, eventually you just have to say, you can't just sit there and cover up a mistake. Eventually, it's like Isaiah Wilson. They owned up to that mistake, and they owned up to it quickly. And eventually you just have to own up to a mistake and say, we got to have somebody in here who can help us win. And, mm-hmm. Maybe Dylan Raiden's magically winds up being that guy, but he had all summer to prove he could be that guy, and he hasn't done it. I mean, look, every GM has hits and misses, all right? Every one of them. And I've always tried to say that, even through John Robinson's successes, I'm like, this is covering up some pretty monumental errors, and he's fortunate for it, because the moment you start losing, now everybody looks at it for what it is and says, well, he hit on these, but he missed on these. We really could have used these right now. And, you can't pretend like those mistakes didn't happen just because you've won some games. You got to stay on it.
Yeah, well, good stuff, Corey. Good conversation. We'll see how it all turns out on Sunday, and appreciate you doing this. We'll talk soon.
All right, just for you guys, I'm going to pick up Josh Gordon off the waiver wire because I'm fairly certain he's there. I'm fairly certain he's available in all formats, and I'm going to plug him into my lineup.
If he
catches 1.1 passes for 17 yards.
If you're in a 20-team fantasy league, then that might be a good play.
We'll see you, Corey. Thanks.
Later, guys.
Yep. Corey Curtis, sports director at News 2, joining us. Coming up next, maybe hear from Derrick Henry. We'll discuss some of that a little bit on Chase Willing D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase Willing D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Bavarian Beer House, Nashville's only authentic German beer hall, is a place full of fun, food, music, and most importantly, beer. Enjoy traditional German bratwurst, schnitzel, giant pretzels, and more in an Oktoberfest-inspired space. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals now to get a $50 gift card for only $25 to Bavarian Beer House while supplies last. Michael McCarron, Predators 4, going to join us here in just a few minutes. But a spirited conversation with Corey Curtis, especially involving wide receiver Josh Gordon. And Willie, you've brought it up. We knew that this was a position they needed to address. They signed Josh Gordon to the practice squad. at the end of training camp just before the season started. And he got in the game last week but didn't really do much. But what are some things about Josh Gordon that you think the Titans are looking for?
Well, I have no idea how Josh Gordon is doing in the practices, which is why I asked Corey. I mean, Corey might have a little more insight on how that's going. I mean, they may be coming to the conclusion that Josh Gordon is just not good enough to play in this league right now, which, you know, was the case when they signed him. They didn't know. But now that he's been around long enough, I would hope that they have a feel for what he can do and what he can't do. And so this is under the assumption that he is ready, he's as prepared as he's going to be. And if he can't play, might as well just move on from him and bring in another young receiver that you might develop and have something with. But in the whole thing of they need somebody who can run a vertical route and create some space for Derrick Henry, for the tight ends, for the other receivers. You've got Kyle Phillips, who I don't know how bad the shoulder was hurting. He was supposedly a game-time decision. He was completely ineffective. Looked like a totally different player on Monday against the Bills. I don't know how he's feeling right now, but I go back to Blake Benningfield and his comments, the former scout, saying, I worry about a smaller guy like that and his body holding up. There's already issues with that. You've got Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, who is limited in what he could do. He's not that type of receiver. He's a role player who needs somebody to support him. You're leaning on Robert Woods, who right now I don't think he's the same player he was a couple of years ago. Hopefully that will get better as he gets further removed from the knee. My point is, as Burks tries to find his way, how about Josh Gordon, who could maybe make a big play for you, just looking at the stats that he's had? I don't think he can do it for a whole year. Corey's thinking fantasy league and things like that, 1,000 yards. I'm not going that far at all. I'm just saying a guy who could play a role, maybe catch a long pass or two. If he just caught one pass and got you 35 yards, that would be something. I think, just based on his skill set, he's the kind of guy that can make a big play for you. And if he makes one, that might help everybody else.
Derek, got about a minute.
I mean, it doesn't.
They're desperate. My point is, they're desperate. Yeah,
if you're going to bring in Josh Gordon and you're going to activate him to the roster, and he played and he had what, 3 or 4 snaps this past game.
I think he had one target.
One target. If you're going to do that, just go out there and put him in packages, because that's what you're doing with everybody else, Cody Hollister, all those other guys. I mean, you've said it's determined by package and all this other stuff. Well, get a package with Josh Gordon in there and just see what he can do. Throw him the football. I mean, at this point, you're just trying to find playmakers.
Yeah.
And if he can catch a deep ball for you, or if he can back the secondary up some, then okay. Because right now, you don't have that consistently. I think you have a player that can do that in Treylon Burks, and you started off on the right foot last game by trying to get him the ball. But beside that, coupled with the offensive line, you don't have no playmakers. So Why not try him and see what happens? And if it don't work, okay, it don't work. Move on.
Right. And I think it could get to that point for sure. Coming up next, we will talk to Michael McCarron, Predators forward, as training camp has started for them. We will do that. But first, my time to tell you about Superbook and why you need to get involved in that. From Nashville to Knoxville and all around the country, Superbook Sports is your place to wager this football season. You don't need to be at the game to enjoy football this fall. Just download the Superbook Sports app or visit superbook.com and start placing your bets now. Right now, Superbook has lines up for every pro football game for the rest of the season, plus which team will win the title, who's your MVP, and who will surprise in the SEC. You can wager on all that and more right now at Superbook Sports. Along with football, Superbook accepts wagers on every other major sport. So bring Vegas to the palm of your hands. And now Superbook will match 100% of your first bet up to $1,000, no matter if the bet wins or loses. Get in the action right now with Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We'll get back into some of the Titans discussion here in just a little bit, but the Predators have reported for training camp. We will be out there at Centennial Sportsplex tomorrow, and we say hello to Predators forward Michael McCarron, who is on the line with us. Michael, how you doing?
I'm doing great, fellas. Nice to be back.
Yeah, good to have you back. Everybody's excited. Big Sexy is on the line. He is back with us. How excited are you? I know you've been skating a little bit, but to get on the ice with all your teammates and compete and get this thing going, it's hard to believe you guys play a couple games on Monday.
Yeah, we're a hungry group, that's for sure. We all had great off seasons. We're coming in ready to go. We're hungry. We're ready to take the next step, and it's great being around the guys again, being on the ice with them, and like I said, getting that hunger back, and everybody's super excited.
You obviously like making the playoffs. You did that last year, but getting swept by the eventual Stanley Cup champions, I know you want to put last year behind you, but what are some things that you can learn and use as motivation as you all move into this year?
Well, I think there's a lot of guys that, don't have a ton of NHL playoff experience. We were a young team last year. Experience is key. I mean, you look at all the teams that eventually win the Stanley Cup and become juggernauts. They go through some of those, tough stretches in playoffs. It took Tampa, I think, 4 years in the playoffs, first, second round exits before they finally figured it out. And sometimes you just, you need that experience in you. And last year was a great, great learning curve for us. We weren't quite there. Obviously we were playing the best team in the league in the first round, but you definitely take some things and learn. The game's a lot faster in the playoffs. There's every little detail matters so much more. And like I said, experience can really help you and give you confidence going into this year.
Talking to Michael McCarron from the Nashville Predators. So, Michael, what was this morning like as you had the testing? It's sort of, I guess, the day you've got to get through to get onto the ice. So how difficult was that?
So yesterday was obviously physicals and off-ice testing, and then today was a little bit more challenging. We had our on-ice testing, and it's more nerve-wracking than anything because everybody comes in ready to go and in good shape. It's more just getting to this day is the nerve-wracking part. Once it's over, it's the fun begins. So tomorrow I'll speak for myself, but just super excited to finally getting a real practice and a real I think we have a little team scrimmage tomorrow too as well, so definitely excited to start playing some hockey again.
Fantastic. I know, like, the strength coach David Good, he's probably got goals for you. You're a big, strong player. What were some of the things you set out to do in the off season to come back in top shape or maybe even with on ice skills?
Yeah, so for me, I needed to get more explosive. I need to be able to play with good pace. For example, your high jump, your long jump, things like that where you can be really explosive. My first couple steps on the ice. And then obviously still always rounding out my game. It's you can't be a one-dimensional player in this league, and it took me a long time to learn that. So last year was a great stepping stone for me, and to be able to build off that this summer was great, going into the summer with some confidence. And those are a couple things that I really looked to gain an edge on.
Well, one of the things that we talked about a lot, I was just up at the broadcasters meetings in New York, and they just showed a lot of clips about how exciting the game is, right? The skilled players, and they cracked down on some of the tactics that years and years ago bigger, stronger players could do to contain the skill players. So that's got to be a unique challenge for you as a big, strong player, because teams like you guys, you want to play big, strong, tough, but at the same time, if you can't be quick enough to handle the skill guys, there's going to be a big price to pay. So it's maybe not like it was in a previous era, even if you want to be, an intimidating, tough team.
Yeah, I mean, you look at some of those clips back in the 90s and 80s and early 2000s. I mean, you could hook and hold. You could basically wrap your stick around a guy and just, sled behind him the whole way down the ice. I mean, that must have been pretty nice back for the big boys back then. But, no, I mean, you look at all the guys now. I mean, even guys my size, Everybody's super agile. They can move well. You know, that was always probably one of my biggest downfalls was my skating and my speed. And, you know, I came into camp last year and I had a good camp and I was able to finally grow into my body. It took me a while there. So, you definitely have to be, you got to be agile. You got to take good angles. You got to think the game a lot smarter, when you're, I wouldn't say necessarily a slower guy, but, you know, a guy like in my shoes, you got to think the game a little bit better so you don't get caught out of position. So, things like that to think about. But yeah, being a big guy, it's back in the 90s must have been pretty fun.
Yeah, I would think so. It made life probably a little bit easier, but it is great for us fans watching some of the great balance between the physical part of the game plus the skill that you see on display here. So, Mike, I want to ask you about Ryan McDonagh because he's a big addition. He's been in a lot of winning locker rooms. I know it's early, but what are your first impressions of him?
Yeah, he's super nice guy. Obviously, a family man. He's got a couple kids. He's soft-spoken. He doesn't speak a whole lot. Super nice guy. He gets on the ice for practice, and, you know, he just does what he does. He doesn't, you know, make a lot of noise. I would say steady Eddie. He's a great player. You can't make a pass through him. He's knocking everything down. He's won, I don't know how many cups, but two or three cups. He's a stud. It's great to have him in our locker room. Great to have that winning pedigree around, and definitely can learn from a guy like that.
Michael McCarron is with us, Predators forward. The Predators announced today that Pekka Rinne is returning to the organization as a special advisor and, you know, is working with some of the goalies in training camp. How cool is that to have him back in the fold in a different capacity?
Coach Rinne.
Yeah, it's definitely cool seeing him around. It's different. We were having lunch the other day, and he wasn't sitting with us. He was sitting over with the coach.
What's he doing over there?
He went to the dark side, that's for sure. But it's definitely great to have him around. He's another guy that, you know, you can just pick his brain and ask him questions. And, you know, from a forward aspect in my shoes, you can ask, like, where's the open spot when I'm on this part of the ice? Like, where should I be looking? Like when there's a goalie in the net, where should I be looking? Where could I be to beat a guy? Great to have a guy like that because, I don't know how many games he's played, but probably, you know, going to be a Hall of Famer. He's one of the best goalies to ever lace him up. So great to have that experience as well around. Probably huge for a guy like Juice and, you know, our backup goalies. So great addition to have around the locker room, that's for sure.
And then finally, how was the Smashville showdown Monday night at Hawkins Field?
Oh, that was so fun. Yeah, we had a good time. Our whole team seemed to really enjoy it. The great camaraderie. The Vandy boys were super helpful and nice with us, and it was cool to be in that atmosphere. I was in the home run derby. I didn't hit any out of the park, so I was kind of embarrassed a little bit. But man, it's not as easy as it looks.
No, not at all. Michael, appreciate the time today. We'll be out there tomorrow, so we'll be sure to say hi. But looking forward to another great season, and we'll talk soon.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, guys. Have a great day.
Michael McCarron, Predators forward, joining us again. We'll be live at Centennial Sportsplex tomorrow for Predators training camp as they'll be on the ice. We'll see. Is it Coach Rinne or Coach Pex? How do we
That's
want
a good question.
Coach Pex.
I think it's Coach Pex.
I like
Pex.
Coach Pex.
Coach Pex.
I think that's probably the way to go.
It's a great story about the first time you see a guy like that sitting with the coaches,
yeah,
and not sitting.
That's
with the
what
players.
We thought of Chase.
Yeah.
Remember,
what are you doing?
Like Chase was over with
when
the suit.
When he became
like,
the
yeah,
suit,
yeah.
When
he
became
the suit.
Yeah.
Like, yo, like, Chase, okay. You want to come sit with us? Sorry, guys.
I can't sit with you.
I'm eating steak now, fellas.
Got to sit over here. You know, but I'll come say hi later. Maybe. We'll see. Looking forward to that. But coming up next, going to get back into the Titans. I know Todd Downing was talking to the media. We'll hear, and he actually was asked about Josh Gordon. So we will get into that a little bit coming up next here on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025, 106.3 The Game. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025, 106.3 The Game. Silly Underdog Picks coming up in about 15 minutes. Looking forward to that segment as always. Some people a little more excited than others. Our college football game of the week, tune in for that on 102.5 and 106.3. The game this Saturday is Arkansas takes on Texas A&M at 6 o'clock. Go Hogs. College football game of the week is brought to you by Twin Peaks, home of the 29-degree drafts in wall-to-wall sports, and Superbook Sports, voted number one sports book in Vegas. Download their app today. Todd Downing and Shane Bowen have been addressing the media as they do once a week. And I know he was asked, Todd Downing was asked about Treylon Burks, said that he really likes his progress, that he feels like he's getting better, which each and every week he's getting more touches and earning more touches. And look, Derek, I mean, you've been saying you got to scheme him open, give him the ball, give him the opportunity, but it seems like the coaches are pleased with his process.
I mean, you don't know what type of player you have until you try to get him involved. This is, again, this is not 1980. This is not 1990. This is not the early 2000s where, okay, we got a young receiver or young quarterback, and we want to sort of ease him into the fold. We got to be careful because we don't want to mess this up. No, we have enough data now that shows that these young cats that are coming in, they're ready to play. And if you're drafting them in the first round, you can't sit around and wait, oh, we need to wait a year or two before we throw them in the fire. No, you got to throw them in the fire now to see if he can play. And for what I'm seeing, Treylon Burks is a good receiver. And he can be more than just a good receiver. But you got to give him the opportunity. You got to set this kid up for success. Because, again, you're always he's always going to be compared to A.J. Brown, no matter what y'all try to do, no matter what people say, no matter what Treylon. And it's not fair to Treylon, but that's just the way it is. So if that is indeed the case, then you need to make sure that this guy can play. And you need to start throwing him the football. And they did last game. Well, it needs to continue because, again, he's the only legitimate playmaker in the passing game that I think.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, you know, Woods will move the chains for you. He's going to make those tough catches. But Treylon is he's the one guy that has the potential to scare defensive backs.
I got to tell you, unrelated, but best like $6 I ever spent is this little stand for my phone.
Yeah, I was just looking at it. I'm like, yeah. I'm putting my phone on top of my computer.
Yeah, no, this is great because I can pull tweets up and so yeah.
That's why I used to laugh at D-Mace when he would bring gadgets like that.
Yeah, no, this
now
is awesome.
I'm kind of like, I need to get one of
those. I mean, because I got a whole setup here. I got the camera, I got the iPad for the call screener, I got my phone, my computer. I mean, you know, it takes a lot. But Todd Downing was also asked about Josh Gordon, who we were just discussing, says, likes how Josh Gordon is working, getting more comfortable and in better shape, said he's learning more each week.
Was he not in shape? Didn't he just come from another team?
Yeah, I don't
went
really,
through another team.
I don't really get that.
I don't get that either. It's like, did he all of a sudden, after he left Kansas City and maybe spent a day or two off,
he went to McDonald's.
Did he start eating Big Macs and filet of fish, quarter pounder, French
fries?
I
always wonder about a line like that. Is the coach, is that something that he had seen, or is that just a throwaway line?
I think that's a throwaway
line. Let me just throw this out there and try to kind of rationalize why he hasn't been in there yet.
Our crack
cover for him.
Our crack staff of Nick Kieser and company has found the actual clip. So here's what he said.
Josh Gordon settled in a little bit more on the practice field. I know he played 18 snaps Monday, but you'll see him building up for potentially more.
I think so, and you know, understanding maybe different positions, so we don't have to just tag him at one spot and limit his route tree a little bit. I think he's getting some more exposure, you know, and getting in better shape and all those things. So excited to have Josh, and you know, like what he's been showing us.
Well, okay, so you heard that there. Finding different positions for him to play. How important is that for somebody like Josh Gordon, who we saw in practice, saw some clips of him. I mean, he's still quick, but being able to play the X, the Z, the Y, whatever, how important is that for him?
It's very important because the Titans are looking for a playmaker at the receiver position. So they're looking for that guy or those two guys that we can sort of put in different positions, put different points, whether it be inside, outside, you know, off the ball, on the ball, stacked, whatever. just so we can get you open, get the ball in your hands, and then let you work after getting the ball in your hands. So it's good. It might slow down his learning process a little because he has to know more than just the X or the Z. He has to learn the X, the Z, the Y. So it may slow it down a little bit, but he will be better from it in the longer run because now I can, you know, in a 2-minute drill, you can line up anywhere on the field and we still believe we can make plays. Again, the Titans are desperately looking for playmakers in the passing game because right now they really only have one, and that's Treylon Burks.
Downing also said he acknowledges there has been some frustration on offense, said everyone has been working hard and frustrated that there hasn't been more success, said the group just needs to keep working and think success is on the horizon. That's from Jim Wyatt on Twitter. Look, I have no doubt that they're not working. Like, I don't think anybody is going to question the work ethic of this team. I just think, as Derek has been saying, I just don't think they have the horses.
That makes it really tough for him because people are questioning him and his ability. And I thought Robbie brought up an interesting question. And Derek, I want to fire this at you. When we're looking at Downing, there's a couple different components to being a good offensive coordinator. There's dealing with all of this stuff that he's got. He's now they've lost Taylor Lewan. They're still trying to figure out how fast they can move Treylon Burks along. They got to get the running game going. All of these things. That's one thing. And then there's when you get into the game and you've got the game plan, do you have the right feel for the right call at the right time? And that's something that's hard to teach, right? I think you can be good at one. You can be good about the planning. You can maybe be a good people person. But then there's also when it's third and eight and I have to sense, you know, I got to put all the things together and I got, you know, 10 seconds. I got to get the play to the quarterback. Who's got the feel, the coolness? And some guys just don't have it, right? Some guys maybe may not have the greatest scheme of all time, but they've got the great sense of when to call the play at the right time.
It's sort of like business partners. You have business partners where, you know, that one guy is the brains, and he's doing all the stuff in the back, but he doesn't quite have that personality to then take that and talk about it in front of a bunch of people. So you have that other male or female that, hey, give it to me. I know what we're doing. I got it all down, but I'm able to better relay it to the masses. So I understand what you're saying. Downing, I don't know which one he is. Is he the brains, or is he the guy that on game day is able to not only put it together during the week, but also call it at the right time during the game? Like you said, there are people, you know, coordinators that can do that, that can be the brains, but then also, you know, look at this playbook and say, okay, third and whatever, critical time in the game, this play is going to be perfect because I know exactly what they're going to do. So this play is perfect. And we know the coordinators that can do that. We've seen them from McVay to name any other coordinator you
Andy
want.
Andy Reid,
even though they're head coaches, but they have coordinator backgrounds. They have such a good feel for the game. Not only am I good at putting together a game plan, but I'm also good at taking that game plan and calling the right plays at the right time. And we praise those guys. Well, Downing's sort of, he's behind the eight ball because no matter what he puts together, they don't have enough playmakers to get it done.
So he's got a lot thrown at him.
Yeah, so there's a lot. I don't blame him. And I'm going to get into who we should be turning our attention toward.
We'll do that. Really? We'll do that at 12:30 after Silly Underdog Picks because you're pretty passionate about this. We'll definitely discuss that. But coming up next, it is time for Silly Underdog Picks. Derek is already celebrating.
Oh, yeah.
We will do that next. Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.